Barclays Center? Barclays Center?
Yeah.
Vivi, right, where a new state.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Christina Bonsack in Germantown, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Are you a night owl? Do you like to keep other people awake? Want to do a late night radio show on WGXC? Your community radio station has slots open for interesting late-night shows. Something scary or strange. A show about what lurks in the night.
From the TARDIS compartment inside the Parker Observatory, flying around the sun, we are the members of the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And to my left is a very enthralled sound guy, Brian. How you doing?
All right.
That's good. Tom, how are you? Back to work. Back to work. You.
I'm very anxious because there's going to be an eclipse, and I don't want to miss it. But it's only going to go right past us so fast. I might just blink and miss the big moment.
Well, if you're
anxious, that's what I am. I'm very anxious.
Well, if you're in the right position, you're going to have over 3 minutes of viewing time, Tom. Ben, how are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Not bad. I'm mildly anticipating this eclipse.
Not fear-mongering?
I will be fear-mongering when it comes to safety, however, but that's coming later.
I'm totally going to fear-monger. Yeah.
Is that what you're here for today?
No.
The dragons be coming?
The dragon's going to swallow the sun?
Yeah, the dragons are swallowing the sun. The sun's going to turn off, but only for a very select few. Like that new show where they blink the stars.
I'm sorry?
It's the three-body...
Yeah, the three-body problem.
Send a message by blinking the stars.
Nope. Don't ruin it.
Yeah, I haven't watched.
I don't even know. I'm two episodes in, I have no idea what's going on.
Is it going to be like...
What?
The Wolves show?
No, it's not. It doesn't seem like it's been written by an AI.
Ridley Scott and a broken ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. That's what Raised by Wolves felt like.
Raised by Wolves, oh, that's it.
That's the sci-fi mess of just... The man wakes up and does, like, a cocktail of every known drug and then starts writing. And then a similarly drugged-up group of people edit this.
I'm going to go with that's not fair because Charles Bukowski wrote things that were coherent and so did Hunter S. Thompson.
Wow.
Mostly
counterpointed.
Having a cocktail of drugs.
There you go.
But it was coherent within that frame.
All right. Mm. So for the creative masterpiece, we need like a specific recipe of mind-altering drugs. And between these two groups of people, we will find it.
Or simple creativity. Yeah.
Who needs
okay.
that?
Yep.
Drugs!
Wait, I lost track. What are the drugs needed for?
The eclipse.
You don't need drugs for an eclipse.
No, you don't.
Wait.
No, you just you need ISO-rated glasses.
Things can go dark without them?
Yes.
Oh, I don't need to drink that much? Wow. All right. That's gay. That's good to know. Seriously, it's good to know I can get the same effects from Mother Nature.
Yeah.
All right, anybody got any cool solar eclipse facts they want to talk about?
No, I didn't do any research on that.
Yeah.
I got a room of blank stare.
I got, I'm no, I have
Tom.
Something.
I Tom bring something to
No, I have something.
Oh, what you got?
On the day of, if you're going to be in the path of full totality, and we'll go over what that means maybe sometime later in the show, but if you're planning to be there, you probably know what it is. Wear brightly colored clothing.
Why is that?
Because as the level of light changes and dims, the response curve of your eye to different colors changes. So it has this weird effect on your perception. I think it's called the Purkinje effect. That's Purkinje.
That's just the quality of light changes too. Is that a part of it? You know how the light gets a little bit more warmer and orange and comes out of it again?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure, like, I can't recall exactly what it looked like.
Weird.
Because it's been, yeah, it was really weird. Me and Brian were in the last one. We were in the path in the last one.
Well,
and some weird stuff happened. Like, we saw colors started looking funny. The shadows started looking really funny. I don't know if you recall that.
Yeah.
There's a thing called shadow bands.
Yep.
That occurs just before and just after the eclipse, where if you look down and away from the eclipse on the ground, not for everybody, only in special circumstances, you'll see weird interference patterns of
yes.
light, like you're at the bottom of a pool, but you're not.
Right.
So all sorts of weird atmospheric things occur. I mean,
yeah.
Even the air stops moving because of the changes in the atmosphere.
If you're near a tree, too, like the shadows coming off of that give some weird effects.
And just to touch on it, totality is total darkness. When you're in the path of the actual full eclipse, if you are in totality, you will experience full darkness. If you experience the partial eclipse, which is just outside of it, basically,
well,
if you're south of Burlington, New York, you're going to get partial eclipse.
I wouldn't say it's fully dark. It's more like twilight.
Yeah.
So, like, think like maybe 6, 7 p.m. Right around sunset. It kind of looks like that.
From the intense YouTube video I watched before coming here, I was told that it's like dawn occurring 360 degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
That's...
coolest part of it is like, well, we didn't see it that much when we were in Kentucky, but the first eclipse I saw was a shadow flying in from the west.
Yeah.
The line was just flying at it.
If you're like up high and you can see it coming.
Well, we're at
across
a plane.
Plane
and there was a desert in front of us.
Yeah.
And then as it hits you, everything turns cold and it actually felt like wind slapping you.
Yeah, eclipse breeze is what they call it.
Yeah.
It comes from
change in
up high on like a if you're in a valley, and there's a mountain coming, and there's a mountain from the direction that the shadow's coming from.
Yeah, that's what we were.
The air will cool down there first, and then fall into the valley.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'll feel that. That's you'll feel right. that happening.
Yeah, the sun drives all air movement, so the darkness disk, the umbra, I think it's called, is That is just like a vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum of coal. Yeah. Really cool.
And if you don't have cloud cover, whatever heat is there, just infrared, it radiates right into space.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what's interesting about that is if you have a sensor down near the ground, say like, I don't know, shin height, and you have another sensor that's about 10 feet or 20 feet up, the air that's up high won't change. Only nearer to the ground.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, because...
Kind of cool.
And that would just only compound the effects for everybody on the ground because that's where all the cold air is going to concentrate.
That's right.
Until the sun comes back and then balances everything back out.
The effect can be so extreme that little clouds can form.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly dissipate once the eclipse is moving on.
I expect a lot of weird things to happen. No drugs necessary.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's what I came with.
No acoustical effects.
No acoustic? No.
Other than...
other people.
The animals going quiet or loud.
Oh, yeah.
All the people
that's
going,
right.
Ooh.
That's right. If you ignore the people, the animals do notice the change in light levels. Like crickets will come out. Crickets will notice, and they'll start their song, their chirping.
So should birds. They should
do yep.
their nighttime stuff. Like instantly, like what's going on. Plants are going to feel it, too. sorry about that.
But as a direct effect of the eclipse, I don't think there's any acoustic phenomena.
There is the
sound.
Optical phenomenon that you mentioned. You know, that it looks like a pattern.
Yeah.
The banding, yeah.
Banding. So now how do we explain that? Could it be that there's this really very thin edge, but it's enormously bright? I mean, it's hard to get the equivalent of a plane wave like that that's come from a very, very distant source, but it is enormously brighter than any light that you stage. So it's this really narrow but bright source of light. Maybe you could see that where it's the diamond ring. You're not in totality. You're just seeing the edge. And you get
Bailey's beads.
Pardon me?
Bailey's beads. The diamond ring effect.
Yeah. Oh, Bailey's beads. Yeah. Bailey bead. You blew that right past me.
Sorry. Sorry. As the eclipse takes
Bailey's
place, that's what we can see.
Bailey's
Tom is referencing the diamond ring, which if you'll see like a bright spot right along the edge.
If you're
of
in Catskill, that's what you'll see.
Really?
In Catskill?
That might actually be more beneficial.
Not
if that's
in
what
totality,
you're
just getting that little bit of an edge. And it never go totally black, but you're close enough.
Interesting.
You'll see the edge of the moon. What you're really seeing are the mountains on the moon. That's what it is. It's the silhouette of the mountains that happen to be visible on the moon.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
At that point.
That's awesome.
And remember,
makes a nice little light show.
But what's the saying? You can't look too long into the sun? You can't look too...
Well,
you can never look too long into the sun.
Well, Ray Charles, when he was a child, could look at the sun for 10 minutes to 20 minutes at a time.
You can never look too long at the sun. Remember that. I think that's very clear to everyone.
If
yes,
you want to have Ray Charles's talent,
stare at that sun.
Working eyeballs.
Do not stare at the sun. Do not do it. There is a specific time frame where, like, if you look at the sun for, like, 1 or 2 seconds, it's not going to cause any damage. But if you look at the sun for longer than 30 seconds and less than, I think, a minute and a half, somewhere in that window, whoever you are, your retina will begin taking damage.
Unless you're Donald Trump.
Who apparently can just stare at the sun unaffected without any protective... People don't do that. If you need... Get the right glasses off of Amazon. They do have to be ISO certified. If you want to use like a welder's shade glass, you need shade number 12, 13, or 14. Those are the ones that will safely protect you and allow you to see the sun without damage. Don't
will they?
Use one of the auto darkening ones. Those technically won't cause damage even if the auto darkening feature doesn't kick in quick enough, because the glass permanently shields you from UV and other types of radiation and only darkens the visual spectrum when you're using it. It will still be very bright and can cause some minor damage to your eyes. Use a regular permanent glass. Or, you know, ISO-certified glasses.
Or put a tiny pinhole in a card and look at the shadow until it disappears and then look up there.
You can.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways you can do that. You can just hold up a spaghetti colander and just look at the holes on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a whole box that's just a pinhole viewer. Go online, a little bit of foil, a little bit of cardboard, and you can make a funny little box that looks like an old ViewQuest visor, and just put it up and you can see the sun. You'll see your own little personal eclipse movie.
A crescent-shaped shadow until it completely obscures, at which point then you look at the sun.
It has been recommended that you use an app. There is an app that will time out the solar eclipse perfectly for your location, and the only reason I'm mentioning that is it will give you a quick warning before totality ends, and you can put down the binoculars that you're staring at the sun with before eyes or retina. just a
tip. Oh man, I didn't think of that. Yeah, people will be looking at that thing through binoculars or a telescope, like.
And then all of a sudden,
without the proper filters on them.
I'm bringing my telescope. I had my solar filter overnighted.
Okay.
I paid dearly for my lack of confidence in the forecast.
Yep.
Worth it. I don't think that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
No, but I could have had it, you know, earlier.
I don't know. Two years ago. Like, we went to, I think it was the Haystack Observatory in Massachusetts, and the guy took his pencil and put it in front of the optic on his telescope and just boom.
Huh?
Right on fire.
Burned.
Oh.
Just
he focused the telescope on the sun, and then he lit a pencil on.
Oh, yes, yeah, that'll
like we used like to do with a magnifying binder. It was like really cool. Then he's like, "Hey, this is why you don't look at it." He goes, "Boom!" just lit his pencil right on fire.
Wow. Yeah, that's
Yeah, that's why you want to make sure those filters are very firmly affixed. You don't want them falling off at the wrong time.
Right.
This is dangerous if you do it wrong. The sun is very powerful.
Yeah, especially if you have some kind of optics that are concentrating the light down to a point.
Anything. Telescope, binoculars, bifocals. You don't want that. But you do want them properly shielded so you can check out the extra effects like the all the plasma.
Oh, no. You have to look at it with a very special filter, a very expensive special filter to see that kind of stuff. It's like upwards of like $300.
Or a number 12 shading plate from a welding store. I mean, I want to know how dark yours looks because I got the darkest plate I could, a number 14, and I just slapped it over a spotting scope. And
I don't know.
The sun looks a little dark to me. I probably would have been happier with a 12 or 13, but I was going for safety. And I also just smashed that glass into a bunch of pieces so I could just put it on different things.
You can just buy the film.
ND film and double it up. I think I have some, actually.
You have?
Yeah, I found some ND film. We can double up.
ND film? What is that?
Neutral density.
I was going to say, how expensive is that? Because, like, cheap. This glass was, like, $3.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you buy, like, a sheet, and then it's got a markup. But if you buy a whole roll, then it's probably about that much. $3 per foot of, like, a roll that's this wide.
Oh, okay.
It's crazy though. You wouldn't make that many filters unless you would.
For
Mr.
anybody
Enterprise.
Out there that still has floppy disks lying around that you have no idea what to do with, I'm not telling you to do this because I don't know how safe it is. So I'm not telling you to do this. So don't take that floppy disk, rip it open, take the magnetic medium out, and look through it at the sunlight. It will severely attenuate the signal. Possibly enough for it to be safe, but I don't know, so don't do it.
Good job.
It'll totally work. I used to do it as a kid.
You stared at the sun through a floppy disk magnet?
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I'd take everything apart, and I was looking at the inside of the floppy disk like, oh, okay,
nice.
That's what's inside of it. And then I could tell that I could barely see the
sun through
the shop light through it.
Oh.
So I took it outside and looked at the sun. I'm like, oh, wow, cool. But I don't know. Look. Maybe only that floppy disk was made that way, and somebody
maybe.
Else is going to open it up. It's like a piece of glass. Don't do it.
So
I'm telling you, don't do
what's
it.
What's the weather going to look like in 4 days? Do we have any?
It's going to suck. Get out of New York State. It's going to be all
yep.
clouds.
It's going to be terrible.
Nothing but clouds. Leave. Go away.
We don't know, do we?
No, I know. No, I know exactly what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Okay, this is what's going to happen. Since I already looked at all the campsites and all the hotels that are completely booked all the way across our state, everybody's going to be in position. So the mass amount of people are going to be showing up Friday, Saturday, even Sunday. They're going to be filing in nice, slow, orderly. Then on Monday, they're all going to realize that their sites and hotels that they've booked out by Buffalo are going to be mostly cloudy, and the nice skies are going to be over the Adirondacks. So the main traffic is not going to be flowing northward to the totality area. I believe it's going to be flowing eastward. Idiot that went to Buffalo because other idiots told them to go there going to be racing for the clear sky as far as they can.
Erie, Ohio.
So. Yeah. There's a tiny chance us lollygaggers that are going to be going up on Monday might have a benefit because our roads could be clearer just by virtue of us heading north.
Running for the sun.
Yeah, and the other people already mostly being there. Just an idea.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Then again.
That's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to go.
Wait for the last 24
hours.
I'm
going to go west when everyone's running east. So
you're going to
on the other side of the throughway, and it'll be like a traffic jam. And I'll be all alone cruising toward Buffalo, but I'm not getting that far. I'm just stopping Syracuse.
I would not even take the three-way in the last day. Remember when we were getting out of the Italy after? Like,
I remember when we were leaving.
Just drive home, and then we got in what I was telling Ben about this about an hour ago, like the second worst traffic jam in my life. And I lived for 40 years in L.A. Kentucky, wherever we were, it was...
Nowhere. Bowling Green or something.
Oh, my God. Like, it was bad.
Plan to arrive early and stay late.
We
folks,
just jitted east out of there on a
tiny. A good tip is to plan where you're going.
We didn't even try to leave, like, right away, did we? We were just trying to get some place to eat.
To eat, yeah. Then we got stuck we just in wanted, traffic jam.
We just wanted to go eat.
No, you see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring full camping gear with, like, food ready to go. So if I see anything like that, I'm going to pull off on the side of the road, open a beer, cook some tacos, watch that traffic roll on by while I watch some YouTube on my tablet, and then when traffic thins out and I sober up, I'll just drive home.
Yeah. Side roads. Hot tip. Just go perpendicular to...
Oh, my hot tip is
don't
I'm going to do
I tried doing that on the
Tommy
Cape
did.
Once, and that was a disaster.
The Cape has one road.
It was a disaster. It was total, like, oh, yeah, sneak off here. And then you're just, like, stuck.
You're stuck.
Nope.
Like, oh, no.
The Cape is...
Everybody else had that thought, too.
What, Cape Cod? Like,
yeah, Cape Cod, yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, you take those main roads, or you basically get stuck in sand.
Wow.
As far as I know.
There you go.
But, I mean, we're not talking about Cape Cod. We're talking about the eclipse.
Other places.
The woman
will not be taking place in Cape Cod.
The woman who was put in charge of, like, liaising with DHS and all the other emergency services,
yeah,
was like, "All right, we have to prepare for the eclipse plus giant snowstorm, eclipse plus whatever.
Oh, all the possible,
all the things that could go wrong. Well, we have to prepare for 10 hours of gridlock on the Northway."
That's the funny part. If there was actually going to be a snowstorm, I wouldn't have to leave. I would just stay home.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what's good about living here. I'm sure a lot of people have a similar plan. Like, I live in New York, so I'm just going to drive to it. Leave early. Leave a couple hours early. Take side roads.
Couple.
And if you're smart.
Day.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that what I'm doing is I'm heading north. I'm heading straight north.
Northish.
Okay, I'm heading northish because plotting it out, you can reach totality in a 2-hour drive from Catskill. If you head west, totality requires 2.5 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
But if you go north, you have more craggy territory, right? Mountains.
Not necessarily. There's several points that I've picked out that there's hilly areas, but I'm assuming, as long as I'm not in the foot of a mountain range, I'm going to be okay.
Why would that matter?
Because I want to see the sun disappear, not behind.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be at 3 p.m., so...
Yeah, it's pretty high in this game.
It's still pretty high. It's like... Yeah.
It should be easy, but, like, I want, like, as much of a view of the surrounding area as I can get. Like,
fair
like
enough.
I said, watching the shadow chase in or something like that. I don't
fair
know
enough.
What I don't know what I'm looking for, so I want, like, full view if I can. And I'm probably just going to be on the side of the road with a bunch of other idiots just stopped staring at the sky. Which, apparently, you can't do in Texas.
Really?
But yeah. you can't stop on their highway.
Their highway.
There's highway interstates. Signs in Texas that say, do not stop on highway during eclipse.
Kind of makes sense, because there's probably people going as fast as they
Why
do here.
Why is this Debbie Downers in Texas?
I don't know.
That whole no speed limit thing at 100, maybe?
I'll go with that. Well, no, that's fair enough.
It's not...
Yeah, exactly.
They're not just Debbie Downers in Texas. All the prisons in upstate New York will be closing their afternoon recess times, forcing the inmates to go inside during the eclipse so they cannot see it. Even though if they had just allowed them to have regular recreation time, they would have.
To be fair...
Wow.
You kind of have to be a jerk to be in prison.
Also, to be fair, prison
not necessarily
rehabilitation than punishment, and perhaps a solar eclipse could make someone change their life around. You never
perhaps
know.
It could transform them.
It should be the
probably
other
not.
Way. If you're on the highway during an eclipse, you should stop and pull over.
Yeah, that should be the.
Since it's total darkness, what good is it if everyone has their headlights on? They're just ruin it, you know.
Ruin it for everyone else.
Ruin it.
Just make this a collective. Everybody stop.
Say, during eclipse, pull over.
Yeah, that should be the rule. You're
in
right.
Texas, it's only going to be, what, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes long?
They're having
isn't it longer?
Weather.
No, it's
different. Longer, isn't it?
Isn't it all the same throughout the...
No, oh. It changes as the moon
we
changes
have one
position.
Of the longest points in time. The...
Oh, really?
We do?
Yeah. That's
three
why I'm,
minutes.
By going north, I'm going to experience about 5 to 8 seconds more totality than Tom will.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought as you get closer to the Midwest, it gets a little bit longer.
That might be true, but I'm only comparing like
Texas
to like no, I'm only looking at like Buffalo and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I thought Buffalo would be longer. I'll have to look at that tool.
I'm looking at it.
Now you're looking at it.
No, Buffalo is shorter. Like
how much? 5 seconds.
They're not in the center of the.
3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Now Buffalo gets passed right over.
Right,
the center of the.
It's going to get like 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh,
there's only a 10-second difference from one end of New York State to the next. It's not a lot.
No,
but it's a little bit more. Who knows? I don't know how long it's going to last over the Midwest or the Texas because.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast these bodies move. These astronomical bodies move,
yes,
but the phenomenon still lasts quite long.
That's true. The shadow moves faster than the speed of light.
Well, that shadow is staying so still. We're moving into it.
Oh.
It's just the nature of a shadow.
Yeah, think about that.
It's not a thing. It's the absence of a thing. It's an image.
But it's a thing. We can call it the eclipse or the shadow. We call shadow shadow, even though shadow is a lack of light. It's still a thing. It still scares me.
Hey, this show's about science and technology, not ontology and philosophy. Get out of here.
Scram! Get
out. We don't talk about philosophy or science here. Not shut up.
And an observer would enjoy 3 minutes and 22 seconds of totality with the sun 35 degrees high in the west-southwest at mid-eclipse. In Maine.
In Maine?
Yep, which is the most eastern edge of where it will be at 3:35 p.m. So that's when it ends, and that's where it ends.
Doesn't it go all the way up to, like, Newfoundland?
Go over the ocean?
This might be a U.S.-centric article I'm reading from.
I was going to say. Because I know Canada's definitely included.
Pretty sure, like, if it went through Texas, it hit Mexico.
Yeah, it does. It does go through Mexico.
No. It respects our borders. It's,
yeah.
It just starts
right
in Texas.
Dead right there. Yeah. Greg Abbott said no.
It started. It
came from Mexico. I say no.
You send that eclipse back. I will send the Texas Ranger after.
That's
you.
Why they're so pissed off at it in Texas.
It's illegal.
It's invading and they can't do anything about it.
The wall won't stop it. Oh, wow. What a waste.
Migrating animals and eclipses must stop at the border.
Exactly.
But those animals aren't going to stop. They're all going to go nuts, apparently. Right? Like, I hear weird things happen to animals during the eclipse. They should...
Well, nocturnal animals come out. Or diurnal animals, they'll come out.
That's a little weird. Like, you'd think that like some creature, like a cat that or something at night is like, well, I guess it's nighttime already. Split second, like they don't just think maybe it's a passing cloud.
They don't have time. I think it's good proof that they don't really have time.
Yeah, they don't have time concept.
It's not night.
They respond to stimulus.
The animal that's aware of the time. For example, it's half past the hour, and we're
forgetting our station ID. Oh no, WGXE 90.7 FM, Hudson, Catskill, Acre.
Are you supposed to do a solicitation too, or no?
No. That is the FCC-required station ID that every station has to say every half hour, just so people know who we are, so they can complain about us to the FCC. Yeah.
Yeah, please don't do that.
They may know who
marking
we are,
the sonic territory, just like a dog marks its territory.
Speaking of animal behaviors.
Yes.
Oh, tens of millions of people live in the eclipse path, which... why traffic's gonna suck so much. Totality is safe to look at, but nothing else. I'm just rifling through these facts so I can get this out of here. Yes, the sun is a lot bigger than the moon, except the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, and it's 400 times closer than the sun. It's just a naturally perfect alignment. That's it. Eventually, there won't be any more eclipses at all as the moon moves away. And it occupies a smaller amount of...
how many millions of years will that take for the moon to move away from us far enough?
A gajillion million.
You know?
It's very precise. It's a very precise number.
Is it? And it's millions? It's not tens of thousands of years?
I have no idea. I know it moves away at, like, what is it, centimeters per year?
To be fair, if it's 10,000 years or a million years, it really does not matter to me.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. It does not matter to any of us. But if it's centimeters, that might be on the order of billion.
Think of the children.
No, you're right. 316 million years. The moon will always be smaller than the sun. So that's how long we got until it...
Unless we figure out how to expand the moon.
Or we slow down its... orbit and we bring it closer.
Yeah,
we could slow it down just to keep those eclipses.
I mean, we're only changing it by centimeters per year. How much could that really take?
What do you mean?
How much energy would that really take to take it from centimeters per year to zero per year?
If we started now, not much.
Yeah.
If we started then, a lot.
You know, we should spend the entire world's reserve of oil and other fossil fuels on changing the moon's orbit and reducing its retreat from the Earth to 0 centimeters per year.
I do believe you're using the wrong form of energy.
Well, what energy would you use?
Nukes.
Nukes? Just like nuclear bombs? Or
not large ones, but several small ones would probably alter its trajectory just for fine.
We will be making a demonstration of the new hydrogen bomb.
What?
An explosion on the moon.
Go ahead and pretend that Nazis aren't on the moon right now working on nukes in the dark side ice.
Okay, Ditto.
Our German scientists will beat your German scientists in race to space.
All German scientists have more money. Welcome to the space.
Well, if the moon was closer 350 million years ago, so that it didn't get the effect that we see today, that means the nematodes didn't get to examine the corona and its plasma pattern. So they really missed out on a sudden advance in their awareness of the nature of fusion and gravitational effects.
Nematodes.
From the nematode perspective.
Mm. I'm just trying to go primordial.
That's fair.
Primordial, you're talking like troglodytes.
Yeah, the troglodytes. I thought they were sort of.
That's not just a pejorative for a nasty brutish human. It's actually a species.
I see.
Yeah, a very very old species.
Well, the insects, for example, predate the vertebrates, don't they?
I think so. Troglodytes in particular were a seaborne sort of crustacean, I think.
At any rate, at this point in time, it's a perfect match, and we get to see whether the starlight bends by the gravitation of the sun. And we get to, you know, come up with anomalies in the orbit of Mercury and things like that.
Are those the astronomical observations that are...
made possible by an eclipse.
Hmm.
See. Well, the fundamental thing was in 1918, the demonstration of an eclipse showed that light from a star was bent by the gravity of the sun. And Einstein's crazy idea was right.
Space-time
is curved by the mass of a star.
And we're going to try to see... Or scientists will try to observe the bending of the sun's light by the moon?
No, what was originally done is a photographic plate of a star's positioning was taken before the eclipse, like in the nighttime. And then during the eclipse, the exact same positional plate was taken again, and one or two little stars moved. And the only way to account for that shifting was the gravitational lensing of our sun. And nowadays, we're just going to do that with a bunch of iPhones. It's going to be really...
Yeah, but if you want to make an eclipse on a star, you can't do that with an iPhone.
What?
And that's what I'm bringing into the story here, is how do you make an artificial eclipse with the optics and the telescope? That's a coronagraph. And they're going to be making a coronagraph for observing the sun, but it's a very difficult thing to do.
Why is that?
Because the sun's so bright. What are you going to do? You point a telescope at the sun, you put a big filter on it. But that'll just, if the density of the filter allows you to observe the surface of the sun, that's fine. But if you want to observe the darkness around the sun, you've got to turn the sun off.
Then notch it out.
Well, and you can't do that by holding your hand over your eyes, President Trump. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. You can put your big fat thumb up, but it's not going to turn the light off.
It does. We have solar probes that use just a giant, just a big old metal cloak to just block the sun and look at everything around it.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We have filters, so we look directly at the sun. But in order to get a coronagraph to work, it's a telescope on the ground. And that's where you see
What's used for the ground coronagraph?
It's a filter that has a particular capability of pushing the light of the sun out to the side. Liot filter, I don't know, L-Y-O-T filter. But these are maintained on telescopes that are on the ground. They don't have any in space, but NASA's really taken it up. They're going to put a coronagraph in orbit.
Where would that be? Orbit around the Earth?
In orbit around the sun.
Around the sun. They're going to send one way out there.
And they're going to look at... They're going to artificially create what we're going to see for 2 minutes and 36 seconds.
Huh.
All day long.
Right, because they need to block the photosphere.
Yes.
Which is... tens of thousands of times brighter than the corona?
Yeah.
Mm.
Right?
Millions of times.
Millions, is it?
Millions. But how can you do the same thing on a star? How can you make...
That's really
turn
far away?
Off the star. I mean, here you have...
But you only want to turn off the...
Here you have your...
The photosphere
sci-fi
of that star.
Tiny.
Yeah.
You have your serial sci-fi, the three-body problem, and you want to turn off the stars. How are you going to do it?
Well, you don't want to turn off the whole star. You want to just turn off its photosphere, right?
Right.
Which is already, you know, it's a fractional piece of an already tiny fractional.
The angles that you're looking at are milliarc seconds. So how do you turn that off at a ratio of a billion to one? That's the
artificial intelligence
that I've been working on.
Feed it through an AI, they'll tell you.
The way I do it is I say, oh, the star is made up of a bunch of colors, so I'll turn off one color at a time. And now the problem's a lot simpler. And you get back, when you're looking at around the star, you get the colors of whatever happens to be near the star. And then it occurred to me that if a star bends light, it's a lens that you can use to look at what's on the other side of the star, which is gravitational lensing. So I brought that up in a conversation I was having with NASA, and they said, yeah, we were thinking about that. So it's a hot topic for me.
We were thinking about that.
Hot topic.
Turning off, making an artificial eclipse.
Get it? Because it's a star? It's hot.
It's hot. Yeah.
How do you make an artificial eclipse?
Okay, Mr. Burns.
But, Mr. Burns?
Mr. Burns, yeah.
Mr. Burns. He blocked out the sun for Springfield with a giant metal
desk. Mr. Burns needs that, yeah.
Now, I would just like to point out the Parker Solar Probe has a 4.5-inch thick carbon steel shield that literally just blocks the sunlight on it.
It's going toward the sun.
Yeah, that's the sun probe.
That's not a coronagraph.
That's just
a heat shield.
That's just, we're going to block that part and look at everything.
They're not looking at the sun. You
know? Well, looking at everything but the surface.
Well, they can look at bits off to the side, yes. But they're not making an eclipse.
Hmm.
And a coronagraph makes the star, the disk, disappear so that you can look at the corona around it.
Awesome.
And
you can't just do that by putting up a big shield optically.
Why not?
Well, you get all kinds of weird effects. So that's why when they're trying to make a coronagraph for a star and they have an external distant satellite that it looks like a flower. It has petals. You've seen that?
Yes.
So those petals deal with the fact that the light isn't going to just bend in a circle. It's going to be bent in a diffraction pattern.
Okay.
So they have to cancel out the diffraction pattern by having this oddball shape all the way around the surface. It makes it look like a flower.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's called a star shade. That's what they call it, a star shade. But that wouldn't work with... it might work with the sun. I don't know. But
it would just need to be very large.
The angle that they're working on is a narrow angle, like, say, milliarc seconds. So.
Whereas the sun would be... is the magnitude larger?
Way too big for that approach.
You would need a really big star shield in order to undo the diffraction that the sun would cause.
Right. So they're going to do... And that works. The problem with it is that it's a separate... it's a separate orbiting body, and the line from the telescope to the star shade is going to vary as the orbit goes around the sun. So you have to use a lot of fuel to keep the star shade in line with the telescope, and so they have a very short life, and they run out of fuel very quickly. So they're talking about refueling star shades, but the star shades are like millions of miles away, so it's not like you're going to fly an old Boeing tanker up or something.
You shouldn't fly a Boeing anyway.
For observations here on Earth, right?
Well, the space telescope that they use is out at a distance from the Earth by millions of miles.
Oh, okay.
And in Lagrange Point, which is the preferred place to put space telescopes.
Yeah, if you're lazy.
If you're late.
Well, it is true. We do have space telescopes near the Earth, like the Hubble.
Mm-hmm. And James Webb. Well, no, wait. James Webb
James
is
Webb
sitting
is
Lagrange.
In this distant location.
That's in Lagrange Point, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, this is the thing that's preoccupied me. I call it blocked, the bifurcated light optical coronagraph telescope.
All right,
that's
NASA.
The key on the blocked and. And it works on a different principle than my original telescope. In this case, you have two telescopes that are at a great distance from each other, and their light meets in a central place, and that's where the colors are all separated out. So I use mirrors in that one instead of the diffraction gratings that characterize the earlier ones.
Nice.
Coronagraphs.
And no need for a star shade.
No star shade. In fact, it doesn't run out of fuel. This thing just floats up there and it does what it's going to do forever.
Is it locked into one star?
No, you can point it at any star. And it ignores everything else. And the reason it ignores everything else is because the mirror has a tiny little hole in the middle. And that tiny little hole in the middle is the only place where light can get into it. So, you know, when you look at a mirror telescope, it has a hole in the middle. Have you noticed that?
Some of them do, but other...
They all do. They
all mine in particular doesn't, but the area in the middle is useless.
Useless?
Yeah, because it has to have the optic up front to put it through the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's blocked anyways.
It's called paraxial, because the light is all on an axis.
Right.
Well, with the original idea of a mirror telescope from 1635, it was invented by a guy named Mersenne. He was the one who said, oh, we can look at the stars if we put a hole in the first mirror. And Rene Descartes and other people said, what, you're going to put a hole in the mirror? Well, you won't see anything. But you do if you have a second mirror in front of the big mirror, a little mirror in front of the big mirror, and then you look through the hole. Well, his telescope didn't require an eyepiece. In that hole was the sky, that portion of the sky that was focused into your eye. Just as if you were looking at the stars, but everything was brighter and bigger.
Hmm.
And it was ignored, but eventually people figured out this is pretty useful. And if you make a tiny little hole, you'll only see one star. But that's what you want if you're going to make a coronagraph to black out a distant star that's only milliarcseconds wide from the point of view of the telescope. And so that's been a big preoccupation for me. I can't get NASA quite up to speed with it yet, but it'll happen.
Yeah, one day those guys will catch up.
They better.
Cody, one thing you may want to look for when you set up your telescope.
Mm-hmm.
On my Telegram channel, t.me/thebetterweather, if anybody wants more specific information on the subject, I posted a sky shot of what could be expected when people view the eclipse. And a couple degrees up and to the left will be the Devil Comet, Comet 12P, Bond something or other. It just became visible to the naked eye like the other day due to outbursting.
I will bring a set of binoculars because I'm not going to go through and take the solar filter off the scope mid-eclipse.
That would be funny.
Just to look at this
random comet.
Hoping to get
it back on before it's too late. Oh!
Right. Yeah, burn my eyes out. Yes. Thanks for the tip, though. I was aware of the comet.
Also, there's going to be visible in the same area Venus and Jupiter, but come on. We get a bonus comet that just came visible.
Yeah, man.
It's the Devil Comet, so it should scare the heathens.
So just while the dragon is eating the sun, the Devil Comet is coming in.
what's all the mythological stuff being hatched out of people's behind?
Don't touch that
nothing
stuff.
We I'm sure there is something.
Science now.
Yeah, but you would be hearing of it.
People do weird things during. I was reading the dark section of the notes I brought. And, like, people will lock themselves in rooms and do horrible things to themselves.
What?
Yeah. That result in, you know, no longer being alive.
During eclipses?
Yeah.
Just what do you
because
mean?
It's an eclipse?
So it's like the Hale-Bopp phenomenon?
No. It's not widespread. This is very rare, and just people have really weird reactions to eclipses. Fear, awe, terror.
Well, yeah, that's like a caveman reaction. You know, like, that's what we were doing in Baja. We were, like, jumping on the ground and putting dirt on ourselves because the evil gods had taken away our sun. Well, we're just doing that for fun.
we
did a little snappy camera.
We weren't playing with too many cactuses in the desert or nothing. No, the peyote was not flowing that night.
You just had a snappy camera?
Yeah, you know,
so you had to do something else?
Something while we take pictures of us, like, fearing the sky. Cowering under the evil gods who took away our sun.
There you go.
Give it back.
No.
Just to inject some technicality, the standard I was looking for the solar viewing glasses is ISO 12312-2. What? That is ISO 12312-2. If it doesn't say that on your glasses, you'll probably go blind.
The
solar viewing glasses.
That's just a really cheap one.
The cheap ones you buy online. If it doesn't have that little number, ISO 12312-2, stamped on the side.
Are those some kind of polarizing material or something?
They're just a filter that just darkens those particular spectrum of interest, which is from burning UV light and infrared.
They fully block UV and infrared.
Okay.
And they'll attenuate visual.
Fully block?
I think they do.
I don't know that there is such a thing.
They will
enough to not fry your eyes.
Fully block UV and infrared, and they attenuate the visual spectrum.
For the purposes of what we're concerned about, yes.
Yes.
But does it truly block everything?
Photonic.
Will it stop every photon?
Well, there are some photons leaking through, Cody.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a science and technology show. We should be very precise.
All right, Cody. Never stand in front of a microwave. Don't go to an MRI. I mean, because believe me, the electrons are going to leak through.
Don't go in an MRI.
A microwave?
While you're chewing on steel wool.
If you want to split hairs, probably some photons are getting through the barrier.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't think your eyes are going to notice.
Celestron, they make good ones.
They make telescopes, right?
Celestron makes telescopes, but they also sell these little glasses and viewing cards and whatnot with the little bits of their material, their film.
Nice.
For a significant markup compared to the film itself.
Which is why, if you're getting the cheap knockoffs, make sure they're ISO certified.
You assume that.
We assume it, yeah.
I got mine for $2.50 each. It's whatever.
Well, good. That way, if somebody out there spent 10 cents on theirs, they might want to.
They might reconsider. You know, yeah. You know, spare less than the cup of coffee,
or put five of them over each other and try to look at the sun. That's enough.
There you go.
All right.
Ingenuity.
Eclipse show. We did it.
What?
Oh, we still got 10 minutes left.
Yeah, 10 minutes to talk about whatever the heck we want.
Remember, the absolute best viewing will not be in New York. Stay out of New York. Head to Vermont. There are many fine places to view the eclipse in Vermont, Maine.
No, there isn't.
Burlington. You can go to Burlington and view it there, yeah.
Pennsylvania, yeah. We're good. Go to Michigan. Stay out of New York. I'm just trying to get rid of the riffraff.
Too late.
I've been hearing, astronomers directing people to places that are, I don't know why they're sending them there.
Where
have clouds?
Where have they directed them to? What kind of places?
Buffalo. They're just telling them head west, head to Buffalo. Statistically speaking, the least cloudiest place in all of New York over the course of a year is south of Lake Ontario, immediately south. That's just a statistic. What's going to happen this year? Buffalo is going to be covered in half, 50% cloud cover.
To be fair,
they could change that day.
Of New York. What are the other ones that are? It's really eclipsing over.
What do you mean?
Well, there's
the line?
Buffalo, Syracuse, Rome.
Yes.
I mean, how wide is that swath again? It's what?
It covers the whole Adirondack Park.
Is how wide is it though?
5,000 people in all in some of those counties.
Right.
The whole county is 5,000 people. So you take the population of Catskill and you're I'll sprinkle it over a county and see,
Yeah,
it's pretty sparse.
It's not just Catskill. It's going to be everybody from Catskill to the East Coast that can't see the eclipse heading towards
Buffalo.
They perceive as the closest point of totality.
This is fair.
And they're going to be crossing that border, coming through New York and giving all our local businesses a little boost to their bottom line. Hopefully.
They'll be moving a lot of buffalo wings.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, never mind. Come to New York for our lovely amenities during the eclipse. But for real, the best...
You said Fort Ticonderoga was closed, but I don't think it is. I saw on the news they're doing some sort of event there.
It was closed according to Google Maps, so you're probably right.
Yeah, they're doing some kind of event.
Awesome. I always wanted to go there.
So if you wanted to go look at it at Fort Ticonderoga,
You mean the point that the civil that the Revolutionary War turned in our favor? I would love to. Fort Ticonderoga.
I didn't know that.
Turning point of the war. Guns for George Washington. Yes, I've read books.
Yes, I read books. Good for you, you nerd.
Well, like I said, if you're going to go and see the eclipse and then as soon as it's over, jump in your car and head home, why do that when you could go someplace nearby and explore? If I'm in Fort Ticonderoga, I'm going to go check out the fort for the afternoon while all the idiots are battling each other trying to get home. I'll go home after them.
Jockeying for 10 hours of gridlock.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nuts. I'm not going to do that.
Fun. Nap on the side of the road. Seriously.
I mean, I'm going to tailgate on the side of the road.
Yeah.
That's the point. Because if I can't find a restaurant or someplace nice to relax, I'm going to make my own little campsite and just hang out. Like I said, I'm kicking myself that I didn't buy a giant box of those solar viewers just so I could sell them on the side of the road. Solar viewers, $20 a piece.
Yeah, if you don't sell them all, and then it comes to pass.
Hey, wait.
You're stuck with a giant box of...
Just wait 9 more years for the next one.
Hey, wait, I got a box of old floppy disks. I can do something with that.
ISO floppy disks.
ISO-rated floppies.
Like the little kids, like, in an old concert where they would, like, run through with, like, cartons of Marlboros and try to sell them to concert goers.
Yes, absolutely. Cigarette.
Or those guys that when I left a month ago when I was on the commuter train.
Said, oh, yeah. Who had everything.
They had everything, but every guy who sold on a train had a taser. Like candy water tasers.
Taser for sale or taser for defense?
Tasers for sale so you can...
Presumably he can use them too. Presumably the guy would use them too if he needed to.
But then you could have all his candies and waters.
Okay, well, I'll take the taser.
Does
and now
work?
I'll take
zap.
The rest of it. Yeah. Except he carries a gun, so don't worry about that.
Hey,
if you're like, hey, does this work?
Yeah, if you really ping him, good. And you knock him out or something.
Well, I think this is a
he
good
can't
idea.
Grab his gun.
If you're watching the eclipse in Texas and the sun disappears, you can take out your gun and shoot at it. And this will demonstrate if you keep shooting, eventually the sun will return.
There you go.
And it proves that we should be fully armed and ready for any eventuality.
Tell you what, I made the sun come back.
Is that
44 Magnum?
Calculating the angle, all those bullets will land probably in Mexico. They would be aiming. They would. The trajectory would carry them far. And yeah, yeah. That's where all those bullets would land if they were shooting at the sun, at that foul sun for turning itself off, and forcing them all to turn on their sad little electric grid down there.
Wow.
Well, it's getting, sad.
It's getting better. It's getting better.
At the top, that I was suffering from anxiety. And maybe it's anxiety that I'm going to have bad weather and not get to see it, or I'll be in a traffic jam, or any number of other causes. But I could be anxious that the sun's going to turn off, and I need, you know, some good old firearm support to bring it back to life. I mean, you know, Orpheus had to sing the sun up every morning, you know, shooting at an eclipse.
Should work.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally down with it. That's the American way of bringing back the light. Just shoot at it. That's why we got
so many things you can do. With
that's why
fire.
We got rockets, right?
So many beautiful things you can do.
There was a film about that. Remember that one? Sunshine, I think it was, where they had to nuke the sun to bring it back to life. Remember that one?
Yeah, and the spoiler alert, the entire trip, they were headed in the wrong direction. That was the big spoiler.
Wait,
that
what?
Movie sucked.
They were headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah. When they launched, they are no, I'm sorry.
No, wasn't there like just some guy that was still out there, like they sent a mission before and then they met up with that guy?
No, I'm thinking of another weird dystopian sci-fi sketch.
Yeah.
In that movie, the guy calculated their trajectory wrong. And they didn't have enough life support for everybody, so someone had to, like, kind of draw straws on that one. That was the movie.
No,
with...
So, like, the Essex.
No, I don't, not enough.
Oh, the Essex is a whaling ship that Moby Dick was based off of, and they basically ate each other.
Wow.
All right.
That was the Pequot. What are you talking about?
That was the Pequot?
In Moby Dick.
In Moby Dick, but it was based on the Essex, which was a real ship that was stove by a whale
and
sunk.
And
then they started eating each other. It's gruesome, yes.
Well, it looks like,
hey, it looks like we're about to be done here.
All right. You're listening to the Thinking of the Lady Radio. WGXC.org. Go.